Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me today. Our special guest today is Sherry Waddell, but before we get into it with her, we are going to have our Catholic tip of the week from Daniel Campbell, so stay tuned.
Hi, this is Daniel Campbell, director of the lay division at St. John Vianney Theological Seminary for the Archdiocese of Denver, where we offer classes for lay people both in person and online for anybody in the world to take. This current year is a special year in the life of the Catholic Church, for it is a year dedicated to the great St. Joseph, a year which commemorates the 150th anniversary of St. Joseph being named the patron of the Universal Church. But why is St. Joseph the patron of the Universal Church? Not just because he was the head of the Holy Family, but also because he was the guardian of the incarnate God, guardian of the second person of the Most Holy Trinity become man. It is St. Joseph who ensures that the incarnate Lord is in Bethlehem for his birth and fulfillment of prophecy, who brings the incarnate Lord to his circumcision and naming at 8 days old, who brings the incarnate Lord to his presentation in the temple at 40 days old, who preserves the incarnate Lord from the wrath of King Herod by fleeing with him in his arms to Egypt. St. Joseph was the steward of the life of the incarnate Lord, as he is therefore the steward of the life of the Church, for the Church is the perpetuation of the Incarnation. What St. Joseph did for the incarnate Lord on earth, he does now for the Church in heaven. Now keep in mind that this year of St. Joseph doesn't end until December 8th, so there's still plenty of time to get to know and love St. Joseph and to invoke him as the patron of your domestic church, just as he is the patron of the universal church. St. Joseph, pray for us.
Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today's special guest is Sherry Waddell. Thank you so much for being here, Sherry. I'm really excited for this conversation.
Hello, Crystalina. Yes, I am too. Thank you for having me.
So I have to tell you, years ago, it must have been 8 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer than that, I was speaking at a conference and you were there, and I just started going out and speaking on my own without Jason and speaking on a different topic of healing and things I was going through. Right. And you were one of the speakers at this conference and you helped me so much. It was amazing, especially in the healing process that I was going through. And the way you were talking about the discernment of spirits and the discernment of one's gifts, it really even helped me in my healing process. So one, I want to thank you. And two, what you do is absolutely amazing. And I want to equip women because if they know their gifts and they know what God created them for, and they have a way of sifting through and kind of finding that, because it's a hard process, I feel like they'll be so much stronger in their lives, their spirituality, what God has called them to do in their vocation. But knowledge is power right now. And if you don't have that knowledge of yourself, it's harder.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled to know. I mean, I didn't realize I had, you know, God used me in that way for you, but I'm very, very grateful. The whole process of discernment, of discerning one's charisms, and that's what we're talking about. Spiritual gifts is just a sort of an English translation of the original biblical term, the Greek term, charism, but it just means a gift of grace. But it's this particular kind of gift. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so special about these. This is not sanctifying graces like we are given in baptism, for instance, that, you know, actually are about our relationship with God. The charisms are ways that you and I are gifted by God for the sake of other people. So they pass through us, but basically from God to others with our assent and cooperation. And we are their stewards, but they don't belong to us. Okay, so they're given to us sovereignly by God, and they enable us to be instruments of his love and his mercy and his beauty and truth and healing and provision for other people in really, really remarkable ways. I'm not saying they're all miraculous or obviously miraculous, but they're all clearly, they bear fruits that are above and beyond our human ability or our talents or our know-how. And so they really are crucial gifts that are given to us for the sake of the work of redemption, that, you know, for Christ's work of redemption that we participate in our own small ways, the sake of our personal vocations, because we can take these gifts with us everywhere we go. And that includes, you know, at home, at work, in the neighborhood, with your friends, with your, with total strangers, maybe, you know, almost everywhere you go, you are an anointed one. The church says, anointed by Christ himself with the Holy Spirit for the sake of a mission. So we're all apostles in our own right through our baptism. And for the sake of that mission that we've all been given, we've been given these charisms that empower us to help us carry out those missions and be instruments of God's provision for other people. So one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life is help people discern charisms and listen to their stories of being used by God, which most of the time Catholics never talk about this because we didn't think it was okay because it was showing off or pretending to be a saint, or pretending to be special or some better, or we were, you know, we just knew we weren't supposed to be proud. And that sounded like being proud. And women are particularly prone to this, I might add, in my experience. Women tend to minimize their giftedness. Yes. So as not that, because they're afraid they might upset someone around them. It might endanger some of their relationships. So with women especially, I have to, we go to great lengths to give them permission to pay attention to the patterns in their lives that may indicate the presence of a charism. So for instance, one classic experience, I was interviewing a woman in San Diego. And what we mean by interview is part of the, it's a three-part discernment process, but part of it is we sit down one at a time with you and listen to your stories of being used by God. And listen for patterns in your stories that may indicate the presence of a charism. And so she was telling me her stories. And actually, the first thing she said is, I don't have any charisms, which we've heard a lot. You know, people don't. That's the first thing they do is they deny they have it. And we learn, we just don't pay any attention. We just go right on and say, oh, really? You know,
well, we think we're not special enough, right? Women think they're not special enough to have that kind of a gift, or why would God give that to me? That's for the saints or someone else, right?
Or it would be proud. I mean, I can't tell you the number of people who've told me at the beginning, I have no charisms. And now part of what we do in the first part of the process is you take an inventory that is not definitive at all, but it helps sort you through your life experience to this point and help you identify patterns that may indicate the presence of a charism. So I looked at her inventory and I said, so why did you answer these questions? You know, there are certain questions about hospitality. And I said, why did you answer them the way you did? Because she got high scores in it. And she says, I don't know. You know, maybe I had it like a stroke or something when I was taking it. She was really puzzled. And she thought for a moment and she said, well, you know, 13 years ago, there was this refugee family. And they, you know, they had nowhere to stay. So they came and stayed with us. I thought, okay, that's hopeful. That's good. You know, it turned out that 13 years later, they were still at her house.
Oh my goodness.
And I just started laughing because I said, do you think that's normal? You know, she did because she had a charism of hospitality and for her, it was normal. And then she went on and she said, well, yeah. And you know, it's been really weird. Like all the homeless guys in town seem to show up at our door. And she says, why on earth is that? Well, see, one of the things about charisms is people sense them in you and they will come and ask you for it, even if you don't know what it is. That's what's so fascinating. They actually, the Holy Spirit, I think, guides them to you to ask you for the gifts you've been given to give. But most of the time, we don't pay attention to that pattern either in our lives unless somebody points it out to us. So she had this pattern of a charism of hospitality, probably an overwhelming one. If I had a chance to talk to her family, they would have said, oh, you do that all the time. But she had actually filtered out the information, which is very common for women, that we just won't take that in. So we have to give them, you know, actively give people permission to look at their actual experiences and the actual evidence of a charism. Now, these gifts we know are given, the church says, to all the baptized. They come with the Holy Spirit, but they typically don't manifest in our lives until the point when our faith becomes personal. So they tend to come flow right out of your living relationship with God. which is why some of the people who go through our process struggle, because when I talk to them, they'll tell me I don't have a relationship with God, even though they're practicing Catholics and they may even be active in their parish. But when you ask them and they feel safe, they'll say, well, I really don't have a relationship with God. So it's really important. We now have the workshop online. We've filmed it and it's available online in English and Spanish. And we made a point of starting the whole thing, the revised version, with a prayer where everyone going through gets to tell God they're open, you know, deliberately, because we want them to understand from the very beginning, wherever they are in their spiritual journey, these gifts manifest as they grow closer to Christ. And because it is He who's given you the gift and is He who is sending you on the mission. And so that connection is really, really important. We make it clear to people when they begin, because we get all kinds of people who show up for this.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine.
including non-Christians, including I've had Jews, I've had Muslims. We have lapsed Catholics showing up, you know, people thinking about coming back to the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. people who've been back like 2 weeks and are trying to figure out what it means to be Catholic now. All kinds of people in all kinds of situations. So that's why it's so crucial that we talk about, you know, the reality of the source of this, which is your lived relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay. And so that's where we start. But then of course, as people go through conversions, the stories we hear over and over again is that shortly afterwards, I mean, like a year or two. Okay.
Wow.
They'll tell us these charisms came out of nowhere. These gifts started to manifest in their life and they had no idea what they were or what it meant. And then they come in, they tell their story to us and we can help them kind of, you know, get a sense of what that was about.
It's really identifying it though. It's the identifying of that charism. And as you're talking, it just seems like such a tactic of the devil to keep us from knowing the gifts that God has given us. Right? Because it strengthens us in our spirituality. It's almost an armor of what God is asking us to do. And as we kind of move forward, but I want to ask really just basic question for those that are listening. And for those of you that just tuned in, we are speaking with Sherry Waddell and we are discussing the discernment of your charisms, your gifts, and pretty much what God is asking and calling you to do in your life with those gifts. But what is the difference? Okay. You're saying a couple of things and I want to clarify the difference between talents, mm-hmm. gifts, and charisms.
Sure. Okay. The charisms we're talking about are supernatural. Okay. They are sovereignly given to you and I by God when we were baptized for the sake of our mission in the kingdom of God. Now, they are more than our natural talents. Our natural talents can be inherited from our parents, for instance, but you can't inherit a charism from your parents because they're given to you sovereignly by God. A natural talent could be used for evil. I mean, you don't have to use it for God. We want you to. I mean, God gave you those gifts too, but you're free to use them for God's purposes, against God's purposes, for evil, for good. But that's not true for a charism. A charism can never be deliberately used for evil. If we try to do that, it will just disappear. But natural talents, absolutely. We can do anything we want with them. So they are independent, in a sense, of our relationship with God. But the charisms flow right out of our relationship with God and are an extension of it. And as our relationship with God grows, so our charisms grow, the fruit of our charisms grow. So that's some of the fundamental differences. Most people know they have natural talents. Very few people knew they had charisms, which the Called and Gifted was the first process created for Catholics to discern their charisms. Back shortly after I myself I'm a convert and after I became a Catholic myself. So it has been fascinating to sort of help people hear what the church actually teaches on the subject and then let them experience and actually go through a discernment process. And it is, we do, we do have to go through a discernment process. So there's three parts. The first part is the initial workshop where we don't presume any knowledge. We just give you everything you need. If, you know, whatever background you're coming from, what the charisms are and why they're given to you and how you recognize them, we give you a chance to take an online inventory that will help you, you know, do a first level of sorting through your life experience. It's not definitive, but it's a beginning place. And then using the results from the inventory, you go into and have your one-on-one interview, your one-on-one session with somebody who's trained to listen to your stories and help you recognize the patterns in your stories that may indicate the presence of a charism or may indicate that what is at work is just a natural talent or a skill you've been forced to pick up in life, or it's just a requirement for, you know, your school or your work or whatever you were doing, but it isn't necessarily a charism. The signs we look for a charism are pretty typical. One, what's your experience like at the moment you're doing the thing in question? So for instance, if you think you may have a charism of teaching, the question is, what is it like for you at the moment you were teaching? Typically, it will be energizing, satisfying, joyful. It may feel like prayer or like contemplation, or sometimes people say, I sensed the presence of God in that place while I was teaching. Those are kind of typical experiences. And we're listening for those kind of experiences to happen over and over again over time, because you don't discern a charism in an hour. You don't discern it by just taking an inventory. You actually have to experiment with it and see what God does.
Now, are these something that are given when like you already have when you're born, and then it's up to us to grow in our spirituality, or God just gives them over time with what God direction or your spiritual maturity?
They're not natural talents, so they are not given to you when you're born. You don't get them just because you're a human being. They come through baptism. When baptism bestows the Holy Spirit, makes us a temple of the Holy Spirit, this is part of what comes with it, okay? There's a number of gifts that come with the Holy Spirit. However, they may not show up in your life. Like, think of them like a seed in springtime. Mm-hmm. Has it germinated? Has it, broken to ground and is showing, or is it still underground? Mm. Often in many people, Catholics' lives, these charisms are like seeds underground in winter. Okay. They're there, they're filled with the life of God, but they haven't germinated yet. They haven't broken ground because they're waiting for spiritual springtime. And spiritual springtime is when we start to respond to God's love, say yes to it, and begin to follow Christ as his disciple in the midst of his church. And then it's spiritual springtime and those charisms start to manifest. So they start to break ground.
Is it something that he gives to you, but he can take away? Or once you have it, it's kind of something that he's given you and then you have to utilize it in your spiritual growth? Or is it something that he can take away from you?
Okay. God is not messing with us. A lot of people are afraid, myself included, that, you'd go to bed, a happily married administrator, and you wake up and the next morning and you're a celibate exorcist. God has just changed his mind in the middle of the night and is freaking, it's messing with your head. It doesn't work like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. These gifts are long-term. They are ways that we are used over and over again by God. There is such a thing as a temporary charism, which is not something you can discern as such. It just happens, but it's very, very rare, or maybe a one-time experience. But these are ways that you were used over and over again in the course of your life. So you can actually look for patterns. And that means that with one of these gifts comes a call from God. So it isn't just something you like to do. It's not a hobby. This is a call. And that means we have to say yes or no to that. And with whatever it is that however God will use it in our life. And so that's part of what's important about the charisms.
There's so many people, wouldn't you say, Sherry, that don't know what they were created for, what their vocation is, what they're supposed to do. They're just kind of like existing almost. And even some really good God-fearing Catholics that maybe go to Mass on Sundays, they're kind of going through the motion because they don't understand this part of their spirituality. And how do you know? I always hear, well, how do you know what your vocation is? How do you know what God wants you to do in your life? Or, you know, but deep down you almost have this like push in that a certain direction, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now it's, I mean, you're asking a great question. And it is true. That's why the church says we are supposed to be discerning our own charisms. The church is supposed to help us discern our charisms. And clergy are supposed to help us discern our charisms because they are really crucial to the well-being of the church and the mission of the church. Because there's a whole, in fact, the church says there's a communion in charisms. So yeah, these are all crucial for all of us. And it does make a huge difference in people's lives. You know, so many people have told me they didn't know what God had called them to, but they go through this process and they start to become much, much clearer. Now, charisms are not the same as a vocation. They are ways that they're gifts given to us that empower us to carry out our vocation. Charisms are smaller than a vocation and they support your vocation. Your vocation is larger, but it will be colored, very heavily colored by the charisms you have been given. And of course, there's no one gift that's given to the majority of people. So we all need each other in the body of Christ. You know, you may have a gift of healing. I may have a gift of leadership. Somebody else has a gift of intercessory prayer. Someone else has a gift of mercy. Every one of them is critical in the work of the kingdom and in the purposes of God, because someone out there is waiting right now for what you have been given to give. And literally their life hangs in the balance. I mean, you may not have met them yet. They may not even have been born yet, but in God's providence, you are the one who has been anointed and gifted and called for that person, that community, that situation. And it matters that you say yes. And that's why discernment matters, because discernment helps you begin to grapple with what I'm supposed to say yes to, and then to open yourself to that call of God that comes with the charism.
Why is it that so many people are afraid to discuss this? It seems like there's a fear almost around it. They'll be looked at oddly, or that people won't know what they're talking about, or it's just not something that's really fostered in the church.
At the local level, the local parish level, which is where it's supposed to be happening for ordinary lay people. Well, I think they were afraid of other lay people. They were afraid they would think I'm pretending to be a saint. I'm pretending to be Mother Teresa or something. I'm pretending to be the special person. And so people have been historically afraid to talk about it, both men and women, to even tell these stories. What they tell us as they go through the process, this is the first time I've ever told anyone this story. Wow. So we're breaking the silence about our experience through this process, both individually, one-on-one, and then later in a small discernment group where you get to talk to, you know, and where it becomes normal for us to acknowledge we all have them. I mean, if we're baptized, there's no such thing as vocational unemployment for the baptized. Yeah. And there's no such thing as baptized people who don't receive charisms. Now, they may not have manifested yet. They may not be exercising them yet, but they have them. And so, you know, we can start all, if we all have them, how could I be showing off by acknowledging it? You know, It's like pretending that I'm special because I have a driver's license or something. I mean, it's just a normal part of adult life. So charisms are like that. They're a normal part of the life of a Catholic disciple. And discerning them is a normal part, and we can talk about it, and no one has to feel embarrassed or like, you know, someone else will be offended if we acknowledge them.
And I really want to just talk to the people that are coming back to the church or are new to all of this, because God has given you specific charisms in the direction he wants you to go. And to be able to talk to somebody about that or read maybe different scriptures that help you foster those charisms, or just different ways, because it really strengthens you, especially in the spiritual warfare that we are all engaging in right now, if you know it or not. And I have heard from just reading and about the different saints in the church, a lot of them say, know thyself. And that is a weapon in itself, is to know thyself. And can you just kind of just emphasize on that and why there is such importance in that?
It does. That's Teresa of Avila, actually, would always say that to her sisters. But yeah, understanding, if you will, it's more like understanding God's design. That's what I think of it as, sort of his, the way he is, what he's intended me for. Part of it is so that I can major in my majors and not my minors. I can, I can focus on where God, in fact, has called and gifted me. And I'm free to not just respond to guilt, but I can discern actually where God is calling me. So I don't feel a thorn in a thousand directions and guilty because I can't handle everything, can't do everything. Mm-hmm. So I can say no with confidence. And that's hugely important. Also, because it's a huge source of spiritual growth and nourishing and even healing in my own life. Now, it's interesting because the charisms are not for us. They're always for others. And yet there's an indirect big benefit to us as we learn to exercise them, accept them and exercise them. Not only are other people helped, but we ourselves will often find our confidence in God grows, our sense of our closeness to him. The significance of my own yes or no in my life becomes much clearer to me. I realize that God really is using me in significant ways in the lives of other people, even if I don't actually see the fruit right away or, you know, it's not real obvious to me. And it is energizing and gives you a sense of joy and energy and satisfaction that makes your faith in Christ come alive. And so on so many levels, this is really a incredibly positive thing, both for the discerner, but of course also for the person to whom God is sending them.
We are talking with Sherry Waddell, and we are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Evert, and we are talking with Sherry Waddell about discernment of your charisms, your gifts, your talents. And something you were just saying, Sherry, is it'll bring you a lot of peace and joy when you're operating out of your charisms. And for example, okay, I never did radio before in my entire life, except interviews here and there, right? But we went on lockdown and COVID and all of these things happened. And for the longest time, it was on my heart to just start a little podcast. And God just kept, it just wouldn't go away, you know, and I pray, discern. I'm like, okay, Lord. And I always just try to be obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. There's a reason. And you, even if it seems small or big, you never know. So you just have to be obedient to it. So I started it and it just evolved into what we're doing right now, is this radio show, Women Made New. And I absolutely enjoy it and I love it. And there's peace and it's easy. And I learned so much. And I know my audience is learning a lot. And if you just do the will of God in your life and listen and train your spiritual ears, at least in my own experience, to just listen to what he's asking and just follow through, it's unbelievable what God will reveal to you and show you, because I had no idea this was something at all ever that I had a gift and that I could do. And it's just following God's will, which is hard because we want control. We don't want to let that go. But the more you listen to the Holy Spirit and you go in that direction, God can change your life.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, these are guaranteed to change your life in really positive ways, as well as the lives of other people. One classic story. I mean, we have so many of them. We've heard so many wonderful things. But there was early on in the discernment process, there was a young woman who was felt she might have a charism of healing, but she wasn't certain. And so she went to a local priest and he discouraged her and basically said, you know, this could be, this is probably a temptation, just ignore it. Well, fortunately, she'd heard about the called and gifted. And so she went originally to Father Michael Sweeney, who was my co-founder. And he listened to her stories and he said, you know, it sounds like it might be the real thing. He said, Sherry, you go talk to her. And so I did and listened to her stories, you know, and it really did sound like the real thing. And in fact, it was. Well, we had no idea that God was setting us up for something much bigger. About a year later, a young friend of Father Michael's had been diagnosed with terminal liver cancer. He was a student in Europe. And so Father Michael connected him to this young woman and he flew across to the United States and she prayed for him. And then he went home. And then he and his wife went back to the doctor and the doctor sat them down and said, now we don't want you to get any ideas, but you're still dying, but we can't find the tumor. And they said, but it's just in hiding. Don't get any, you know, don't get your hopes up. Just go off and take a nice last minute trip, you know, and then get your affairs in order. And his wife blew up at that point. And she basically said, if it's in hiding, you find it. So they did all this huge battery of tests and couldn't find it. So they finally had to just say, well, I guess you're in remission.
Wow.
So a year after that, we were teaching a called and gifted in Maui. This is sometimes a really hard gig.
Wow, and, I want to go.
This was such a weird story. So there I am in Maui and up walks this young woman. And I'm like, what are you doing here? And she goes, well, it's the 1 year anniversary of this young man's healing. Wow. And they took a trip to Hawaii and they brought me with them as a thank you. Now, what was fascinating is not too long ago, it's been 17 years since this all happened. And not too long ago, I actually asked Father Michael, I said, remember your friend? I said, how's he doing? He said, oh, he's doing great. I just had lunch with him last week. So obviously we are not dealing with mere remission here. He was healed, you know, in this very dramatic way. And it was, now here's what was so fascinating. The year before when she was discerning, she had no idea. She didn't know who he was. She had no idea he would get sick. He had no idea he would get sick.
Mm.
She was being given this gift. She was going through a discernment process at that point for the sake of other people whom she did not know yet, whose needs were not yet obvious. And yet God was preparing her to be the one through which he would provide. And so that's very typical for all the charisms. That's why discerning now is important. Because the person, one of the people for whom God has gifted you, you may not meet for another 5 or 10 years, somewhere down the road, but he has given that gift to you with them in mind and all the other people whom he will use you in their lives in ways that you see and in ways you yourself don't see. But the charisms are incredible in that, as I said before, one of the signs often is that people will come and ask you for the gift, even if you don't know you have it. So one of the funny stories, one woman came up to us at a workshop and she said, all my life, total strangers just walk up to me and start telling me their whole life story, like at the grocery, you know, checkout line. And she says, why me? Do I have talk to me written on my forehead?
Wow.
Basically, she did because she happened to have a charism of encouragement. And that's one of the classic signs. Mm-hmm. And so the mystery of how people figure this out. But I finally, after years of pondering, I've really come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit literally just prompts them and says, go, you know, somehow talk to that person. And they do.
That is the thing. That's the key right there, at least in my mind, and how God has really operated in my own life, is just listening to those little promptings of the Holy Spirit. And they can be life-changing. An example, and I've said this many times before on past shows, about the young man that had the courage to stand up, this talk I went to that completely changed my life and pierced the darkness and the sin that I was in that nobody could penetrate. And my mother tried, but his willingness to say yes and to get up there and share his story and how God worked in his own life. And if he didn't do that, I'm sure God would find other ways or another person, but it was his willingness to say yes to God. Yes, I will get up there. Yes, I will be that testimony. And it's changed my life. And so the importance of figuring out the charisms, the gifts that you have within you, hold weight in this war that we're in right now to know who we are, what God created us for, what direction we're supposed to go in, and what gifts he's given us to do that.
Well, actually, it's interesting. You know, John Paul II put it this way. He said, God with his call reaches the call of each individual, and the Spirit who abides deep within each disciple gives himself to each Christian with different charisms and special signs. Each one, therefore, must be helped to embrace the gift entrusted to him or her as a completely unique person, you know? And so it's, and it's, like I say, there's a lot of stuff about this in the church's tradition, but the discernment of it is a process. And that's really important. A lot of people, sometimes there's some inventories online that people just say, well, you answer 10 or 20 questions or whatever it is, and bingo, you know. That's not how real discernment occurs. Real discernment requires that you actually do the thing. In other words, if I think I have a charism of healing, I need to get around people who are sick, you know, and pray for them and help them and see if they get better. And if they are worse off after I am done, it's a clue, you know. And this is a really important part of the discernment process that we're all strongly encouraged to go through, especially within the, you know, with the support of the Christian community. That's why I created the Called and Gifted. But it's a process where you actually pick a gift to experiment with a minimum of 2 hours a week for a sustained period of at least 6 to 8 weeks, because you can't discern something in an hour or a day. You need to see if the pattern is there over time. And what you're looking for is your experience. You know, so I talked about that. You're energized and satisfied and joyful and all. And it feels like the presence of God at the moment you're doing the thing in question. At the moment I'm praying for somebody else. At the moment I'm making music. At the moment I am organizing a group. What is that like? Okay. So there's your personal experience, but that's just one sign. There are three of them, basically. The second one is, what does God really do? In other words, what happens? If you have a charism of healing, people get well, you know, and if they don't get well, it's a counterindication. If you have a charism of administration, things get organized. If you have a charism of craftsmanship, you create beauty, you know, with your hands, and other people recognize that beauty, et cetera, et cetera. So we need to take action and look for the classic signs. And people will tell us what they're receiving from us, both by what they ask of us and if you ask them, you know, and by what they tell us. So we have this third sign is the feedback you get from others. Indirect feedback is when people vote with their feet and just ask you for it. Like the woman who people showed up at her house all the time and she didn't know she had a charism of hospitality. Well, they kept showing up asking her for what she'd been given to give. She just didn't recognize it. She wasn't open to the signs at that point. But they were there. The other sign is sometimes people, if they become aware of the charisms, then they may come up to you and say, you know, when you read your lector at Mass, when you read, it's a really powerful experience to me. And I think maybe you have a charism of, well, there's a lot of charisms that could be work there. Evangelism, for instance, or encouragement or prophecy or something like that. So, but all three of the signs need to sort of show up in your life on a consistent basis over time. And that's the test.
Can you maybe just emphasize a little on on just the charisms and what we're talking about. Because if I really do feel if people just stayed in their lane, right, and they focus on a charism that they have, and if they actually knew what their charisms were, the world could change. The church Absolutely. Could change. Their parish could change. Their households could change. Their lives could change if they could tap into that. But there may be some doubters. I don't know. What would you say to them?
There's several sources in terms of church teaching on the subject. First of all, go to the catechism and look up the word charism, because there's a mm-hmm. number of references right there. There's a number of references in the documents of the Vatican Council, et cetera. But I've actually gone through the whole 2000 year history of the Catholic Church and teaching on the area wow. of charisms and collected them together. I talk about this in my book, Fruitful Discipleship. There's a chapter on the teaching, the church's teaching in this area. It's also available. We have a little booklet available on our website, the Catholic Spiritual Gifts Resource Guide, that lists the reference to all church teaching on the charisms in the whole of the history of the church at the beginning. So the references are all there if you want them. It's there. But this is magisterial. The church has been talking about this since the beginning. St. Thomas Aquinas talked about them. It was debated at the Second Vatican Council whether or not lay people had charisms. That was a mm-hmm. major debate. Okay. So and it's in the catechism and all the magic and all the Pope John Paul II talked about it, Benedict, et cetera. So that is definitely there. Now however, you do need to go through a discernment process, and that's why we created one that you actually can go through. Individuals can go through, or you can go through in small groups in your parishes. We work with a lot of dioceses and parishes where we form local people to facilitate the process. But if you wanted to just start right now, you can actually go to our website. This is the Catherine of Siena Institute. And our website's really simple. It's just siena.org, siena.org. So Catherine of Siena Institute, siena.org. And look at Called and Gifted. They'll say, what do we offer? And it'll say Called and Gifted. And there's tons of information there on the Called and Gifted process. We do live workshops. And if you can also free to come to one of those if one is happening near you. But if you're in a hurry and you want to do it now, you can do it now, either in English or in Spanish, go through the initial workshop.
What a beautiful way to revive a parish.
Oh, right? It is. It transforms the parish. We've worked with hundreds, maybe 1,000 parishes now, okay, all over the world. And so, yes, we've seen it many, many times, because with a charism comes for leadership, a kind of leadership in that area. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to have a salary or anything to exercise that leadership. But you, in that area, if you have a charism of mercy, you have a passion. You see those who suffer mm-hmm. and are marginalized and need hands-on help. And besides which, it is you feel privileged to be able to serve them. And so other people are going to see that you're having fun. They're going to say, she's having fun. I'm going with her. and before you know it, people are gathered around you on a similar mission. And you're, you know, in that area of leadership, in that area of mercy, you can really provide leadership. And it's true for all the charisms. So, yes, it has a huge impact in parishes. It has a huge impact in the rest of our life outside as lay apostles called to bring Christ to the whole world. And it's both, and it's not an either or by any means. Mm-hmm. We use it everywhere we go. And people will come up to you and ask for it in very surprising ways. I mean, you know, so it's just, it's just on so many levels. And not only that, for instance, I met a number of women who have discerned religious vocations through going through the Called and Gifted. And I just ran into another one a couple of weeks ago on the road, but I've had a number of them say, you know, that was a crucial turning point for me. A lot of people who are thinking they may be called to religious life or priesthood come to the Called and Gifted first because they're a little bit too anxious to go to the chancery about the priesthood mm-hmm. or to maybe go to a religious house. That's too intimidating. So they use the called and gifted as their first step. And we often have these discussions with them. It's a starting point. Mm-hmm. People who discern charisms discern vocation. So that has been fascinating as well. There's kind of another classic story. This is of a young woman. Actually, she's only 13 when the story begins. She's from a nothing background. So she's no religion background, but she got to know a guy who she really liked. And out of the blue one day, he said, "So what church do you go to?" And she goes, she thinks really quickly because she can't think of anything. But then she remembered her grandmother was Catholic. So she said, "Oh, I'm Catholic." He says, "Great, so am I." Well, now she's really stuck because she can't really back out of that without telling that she was fibbing. So she pretends she is Catholic, and he invites her to come and attend Mass with him and his family. So she goes for the first time in her life, trying to pretend she knows what she's doing. But she found it really, really moving. She sensed a presence of God there, and the talk about God and his love really moved her. And so she joined his youth ministry and got really involved with that. And she isn't baptized yet or anything. So she hasn't told anybody, but about a year and a half into the process, it finally dawned on her that she was supposed to be baptized. And so she finally was able to confess it to the youth ministry team, and they were super supportive. Wow. And they just walked her through the whole process. And she was already a disciple before she was actually baptized in heart and mind and spirit. Yeah. She was in love with Jesus. She was seeking to follow him. And what was really interesting, almost immediately after her baptism, she went through a called and gifted because that parish offered it and began to discern a charism of mercy. And she and one of her friends just on their own initiative, just started going out, working with the poor and the needy in their neighborhood. And no one was surprised by the time she was a senior in high school that she was discerning religious vocation already. Mm. Okay. That parish knew what it meant to walk with her. They walked her through the whole relationship with Jesus thing, entering the church, receiving the sacraments. And then they walked her through discernment, and all of that narrowing set the stage for her to really begin to wrestle with her vocation in life.
Wow.
So, and we've had a lot of people, that's both men and women, who've done that through the called and gifted. So it's a normal part of the process.
Now, there are so many people I talk to, Sherry, that are so frustrated with everything going on in the world and the church, and just feel almost helpless of what is it they can do. It seems so much bigger than them. But in all honesty, I feel like if everyone would stop looking on the outside and all the problems on the outside and just stop and look and take spiritual inventory on what's going on within, and how are you with God? Are you right with God? When's the last time you went to confession, adoration, Mass? How much can someone really dive into this if they aren't right with God? In my mind, you just can't.
Now, because this is offered at normal parish levels all the time, we get people who are all over the spiritual waterfront. Okay. So some people are Catholic, even practicing Catholics, and yet they don't have a personal relationship with God yet. Mm-hmm. Other people are great saints. We have met everybody and everybody in between. But wherever they are, as I said, we start with, here's where they come from. Here's what it means. These gifts are given to disciples who have a mission. So your personal relationship with God is the crucial source of all this. Wherever you are, you need to tell God you're open to the next thing. Because if you want it, you can't pursue care. These are not natural gifts. They come from God, and they're for God's purposes. And therefore, you have to begin to address and declare yourself, at least declare yourself open. And we have found, you know, whenever somebody says, you know, maybe I'm not even entirely certain you're there, or that you care about me, or you can hear me, or you care, but I'm open, that is a huge turning point for many, many people. I've never known God not to respond in really direct and powerful ways to someone who seriously prays that prayer. And so for other people who are further along, yes, go to confession, you know, start praying every day, immerse yourself in scripture, adoration, absolutely. Spend time with Jesus in his presence, all these things and many more. But the closer you become to him, the more he can use you and the more powerfully your charisms can manifest. And here's the deal. All the fruit that you and I bear through our obedience belongs, the church says, to the entire church, the entire body of Christ. And all their fruit belongs to you. The reason you and I often feel so weak and everything is because the community, the body of Christ as a whole, isn't bearing the fruit we were anointed to bear. And so it literally weakens. We weaken one another by that. But when we begin to walk in obedience, when we open ourselves and seek to draw closer to Christ and open ourselves to follow him and to be sent by him and to exercise these gifts that he has given us, then we start to send ripples of grace. I mean, God does it through us. He sends ripples of grace out into the world that changes many, many lives and actually affects the entire church, even though you and I, of course, don't see how that works. Mm-hmm. But the church teaches that very explicitly. It's in the catechism, okay? So, yeah, I mean, there's so, not only are there people, individual people and groups of people and maybe a family and maybe a business and maybe a profession that's waiting for what you've been given to give, but the whole church is waiting as well.
Now, some of you out there, this is on their heart right now. And I know that some people are definitely wanting to go do this and figure out what it is God wants to do with them. Sherry, where can they find all of this information and more information about you?
Go to our website, the Catherine of Siena Institute. There's only one N in Siena, so it is Siena.org. That's our website, Siena.org. And just look for Called and Gifted. Look under what we offer, or just do a search for Called and Gifted. And there's tons of material. You can sign up on the spot and go through the online version of the initial workshop. You can, and after you've done that, you can call and we can set you up with someone who's been trained to actually do the one-on-one interview with you over Zoom or over the phone or whatever. You know, if you don't have someone local, and you can also see where the live workshops are being held, and maybe some are being held in your area. You can go through that. Read the book, get the book, Fruitful Discipleship, that I wrote, which is all about this whole process of discernment and the call of every one of us to be apostles of Jesus Christ in the world and in the church. And that's available from our Sunday Visitor, but it's also sold by EWTN. And so Fruitful Discipleship, and those would be, I think, the best two sources to look for right now.
Thank you so much. We are out of time, but I love the work that you do, and I know it's changed my life. And thank you for being here at Women Made New, and I hope I can have you on again soon, Sherry.
Thank you. That would be great, Crystalina. I really appreciate the opportunity to have a chance to talk about this.
I want to thank my guest again, Sherry Waddell, for being here. And I also would like to congratulate two great members of the EW10 radio family celebrating anniversaries this week. It's the 6th anniversary for Divine Mercy Radio, Catholic 540 in North Carolina. Also celebrating 6 years on the air is Blaze Radio in Duluth, Georgia. So hello, Duluth. Our congratulations to Keith and Cecilia Flannery at Divine Mercy Radio and Ken and Patricia Shivers at Ablaze Radio from all of us at EWTN Radio. God bless everyone. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you next week.